failing in our culture, if you know that you're in this community, you've got to put your affairs in order. I think what we see in this fourth chapter of 2 Timothy is Paul putting his affairs in order. He's given last-minute instructions. He's coming to the point, saying, I'm leaving here. I'm just these things to do. I'm greet this person. Some interesting things that he mentions at here. I'm usually that if you just read it as normally you would read the final benediction, you might miss it. And I'm sensitive to this to Timothy. Let's take a look a little bit, we'll backtrack what we've covered a little bit from last week. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 says, at my first defense, no one stood with me. Forsook me. But he had not been charged against him, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. But he had been in glory forever. Christo and Aquila in the household of Nesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus might have left and headed to Miletus. Near Albus to come to me before winter. Eubulus, a great shoe, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be to you again. And that's it. Notice we have a moment in here. Paul was sadly disappointed, as we mentioned last week, that he was abandoned by the believers at his last defense before him. He thought they would stand with him. And probably some of the people of this persecution are some of the ones who abandoned him. I mean, they left the faith, but they found other things to do when Paul had to stand before Nero, because you see, they didn't want to be identified with this. Why we have all the way through 1 Timothy and all the way through 2 Timothy, we have Paul trying to encourage Timothy to stand firm because Timothy had a tendency to back away from things which concern his own safety. And so he's trying to pray. He wasn't doubting Timothy's faith, right? He wasn't doubting his commitment. Resolve. Your faith is intended to your resolve, right, to be a testimony. And if you're afraid to stand, you know, the Lord said, which is a very powerful statement in Matthew 10, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in the heavenly angels, right? I'll be ashamed of you. And so he's trying to fortify to me. So we see here that he stood, he said, now notice what he said, that's why I had time to read out of Mark 13. He said, I know the Lord is with me. You know, in other words, we're told over in Matthew chapter 20, lo, I'll be with you how long? Always, right? Even to the end of age, I'll always be with you. So Paul was strengthened, not because he had support. He would have liked to have some earthly support, but his strength doesn't mean the Lord is with him. Same thing with Jesus praying in the garden. Jesus would have liked that. His disciples had stayed awake with him while he was praying. They all fell asleep because their eyes were heavy. And he said, couldn't you stay awake for an hour upright while you prayed? And so, Paul's defense of the gospel, Matthew perceives here, his advisors and guards, he was alone, but he knew the Lord was with him. So no matter who, the Lord's with you. same evil of balancing. This is predicted. This is what the end time looks like. And it's going to get worse. And so Matthew 24 tells us two things when the Lord's talking about this. Number one, he says, don't be surprised by this. He says, and I like the phrase close to me, his company said, these things must be. I know someone came up to me a few months ago and said, well, I don't want to be at the end time. I said, well, I don't have a lot of choice in that. And it's going to come. And we know after all of this, Jesus comes back. So I think it's right. I think it's good. At the end, the second thing he says, Matthew 24, which you want me to take now, he said, listen. Do not be concerned. Don't worry about this. These things must be. But I'm with you. He said, don't fret and worry because, what he told his disciples in John 16:33, he says, you're mature, I've overcome the world. Don't win. At the end of the book, we win. Okay. Now, that's what he's trying to make some love to say. He said, listen, I checked into the book. I think left of Jesus in his church, we win. You know? It's not in the fourth quarter, 2 minutes left, did we win? So no matter who forsakes us, the Lord's with us. Always. And the Spirit will give us. Now, one of the things I really liked on that passage is why I really chose it. It says, they say, don't worry about what it's saying, because the Spirit will give you what you need to say when you have to stand up and defense. When you're called up before those people, the magistrate, the government, you're going to come and take your way. He said, don't worry what to say. The Spirit will give you wisdom to say what you need to say at the time. And if I practice in advance, the Spirit will give this to you. And so, we come there, so we know, by the way, we know what Jesus told Peter. Said, listen, your spirit's willing, in the book. Flesh is weak, our flesh is weak, right? Never was that difficult. Our flesh is pretty weak. And so we need to come to the point of understanding that we have to stand with the Lord. Everything is to His glory, and all strength comes from Him, right? And we have to stand in that. We have to understand that. So, only the Lord can be dependent upon. And by the way, we don't disappoint each other. This weakness in our discipline. Not that you ever disappoint your spouse. Between the pictures of your plates of food, I've read so many of them. But we are weak, right? But the Lord's not. And the Lord will strengthen us. And on Him to be dependent upon. We're not dependent on God or each other. Including the extent of the point of them depending on Him. Depend on the Lord. Because He is with us and will see us through. That's an experience that any writer had when he wrote, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus, right? And what those things are going to be worth it all. And it's like Paul said in this chapter, he said, therefore, if we have remained a crown of righteousness, which will what? Never fade away. Never be taken away. So he's looking beyond the right, the trials, and beyond the martyrs, and he's looking for the fact that as we come to conclusion, there are several things here Paul does. He puts a lot in this last section here. Number one, he reflects back on his ministry. And he says, God allowed me to speak to all the Gentiles. Thank you. first protection of this meeting, the first sign of the power to glory, by the way, it's the end of the year. And the way to play it is the fact that I stay faithful. And that's why it's kind of good. I don't want to tempt you to listen. You stay faithful to what? Go to the end. Timothy, you need to stay faithful to the end. I'm going to show you where that's written here in this passage here. He said, I want you to stay faithful. You've been protected, and God has guided me, has protected me, and the work's done. And that's why I told the Philippians, I'm talking this one thing. If he who began a good work in you shall complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, that's what he's telling them. He says, you know, in Philippians 1:6, he says, I am going to be complete. If you stay faithful, God is going to complete, because it's not up to you, it's up to the Lord. And the Lord never fails. And so it's here. So there's a number of nations and a number of rescue
So I was to greet the family and just bless that family, greet them for me, because they have been a great help to me. And so, you would say the Corinth, the primary minister. I want you to notice what it says here about Trophimus. We have two main sentences of Trophimus in the New Testament. If you're Trophimus, I'm going to leave back on the Lyantus. And because you're sick. Now, this really goes against all the things. The only thing that I'm talking to is the only one who wants to. Why was Trophimus still sick? Well, the Lord allows healing to those people he has appointed out to heal. So he could not heal Trophimus. He was very sick and lived in a wilderness. Miletus. Miletus was the port city of Ephesus. Ephesus was 14 miles off the Kistar River. And the port city of Ephesus was Miletus. That's where he lived. Now, Trophimus also is famous in the fact Paul went to Jerusalem, remember, in Acts 21, he was told not to go to the Spirit, not to go to Jerusalem, 21:4, but he went there anyway. Trophimus went with him, and the Asiatic Jews thought Paul had taken Trophimus and Gentile to the people, he had not done so, but he convinced the other Jews he had to start to write. And of course, that started all the problems with Paul. Caesarea, where he spent 2 years before he killed Caesar. So this is the same Trophimus guy. And so he lived in, and said, he was sick and left in Miletus. And they said, please come before winter. Hurry up. Well, there's two reasons for that. Number one, remember he left his cloak back. He didn't know he was going to be arrested. He left his cloak. Please come before winter. So the Timothy had to start hoping to get over there. And so he says, I like my clothes and I like my books. So this must have been just before the winter of 66 AD. It's actually in the spring of 67 AD. The greetings are sent from your boats. We have a Cincinnati. So convinced that Pilate and his wife, the Lord is a saint. Pilate and Saint Claudius in the company counter. We really don't have any good historical evidence for that. But there's a lot of tradition in Rome with just Pilate retiring and that this Claudius indeed Claudius Prophetus. And one of the things they point out about this is the fact that the only woman mentioned here. So she must have had some prominence. And so they really believe that this was Pontius Pilate's wife, who was sending warning, remember, to Pontius Pilate. It had nothing to do with this righteous man, because I've had many visions about him today. So how do you think this is probably going to be a question? But it is a nice woman. So it came from their own church. I want you to notice this too as we conclude our message today. Paul brought it, he's going. kisses me with your spirit. That's significant because all along he's trying to encourage, right? He's trying to encourage Jennifer to stand and resolve and everything. He said, I want the Lord to strengthen your internal resolve, right? Your spirit. And so this is the last, I don't want to call it a parting shot, but the last admonition he gives it to us. Strengthen your spirit. I know you have all the tools, I know you have everything else, but I know he's someone of a sensitive, right personality, a shy personality, so may the Lord strengthen you. Let's turn down on your brain. So Paul is passing the baton to him. He's passing the hand and says, what do you know? And by the way, all the freedom of dinner as a Christian, so I came before us, are not here. It's up to us. As we come to the final generation, whatever that is, it's our turn. I'll preach a funeral, whoever I preach a funeral for, it's not for them. They can't have nothing more. But we're still here. You know, every morning I wake up and say, Lord, I'm still here. Must have something to do with it, right? And so the Spirit said, may the Lord not only be with your spirit. You can pray that about us and be with us and may he strengthen us as we yield to him. He's concerned about Timothy standing under Christ. He says, don't worry about it. The Lord will strengthen you. He said, and may grace be on you until the end. So Paul poured out his heart on Timothy. First sentence that is full of Paul trying to strengthen him. He strengthened Timothy. You see these things in me, right? You taught that. I measured that to you. I passed it on. You need to pass it on to others and measure others. And he says, and the very last thing says, Timothy says, may strengthen your spirit in this. You got all the tools, but now you have to have the what? Resolve. You have to have the resolve. Let me tell you something else we can consider here. Know what they do for you. They have encouraged you. They have modeled you. But I'll tell you what, a lot of times you're going to find out, like Paul found out, sometimes you're alone. Front, and everybody's behind you, way behind you. And sometimes the Lord says it's you. It's exactly what Paul Peter, remember, when feeding my sheep, he can feed my lamb, feed my sheep. So what shall I do? He says, if I have him just sit around, I come back, what's up to you? You feed my sheep. It doesn't matter what someone else is doing, it's up to you. But you, even if no one else is helping, so I mean, I've had over years people say, well, what am I going to help? Why should I help? Well, because the Lord's choosing me. I'll tell you what, if you're the one doing the work, guess who's going to get the reward? And who's going to get the blessing? And besides that, if there's no one doing the leading, no one doing the work, where's the example? To follow. It's like, it can't be done. What a lot of sometimes it choose me and say, you're going to start, right? Because if you're not serving the Lord, you're automatically serving Satan. But by not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're automatically helping me against Christ. And so he said, they strengthen your spirit, Timothy. And so after all the instructing and the admonishing and the warning, Timothy guitar.